This is the Moshpit Backstage Podcast for punk, metal, and rock interviews and segments.
City are an electronic metal band from Melbourne, fronted by Alex Reed, a girl with killer scream vocals. I have her on the line right now. How are you, Alex?
I'm really good. Thank you so much for having me.
No worries. It's great to talk to you. So, Drown This City started as an electronic project and transformed into a post-hardcore band. So, can you tell me a little bit about how and what caused this change?
We started this band with myself, our drummer Anthony, and our bassist Michael probably a year and a half ago. And we'd all been in other bands before, heavy bands, and we really wanted to keep writing music, but we wanted to work on something mainstream, maybe reach a wider audience. And we decided to write some electronic beats, maybe something along the lines of Ellie Goulding, Pendulum. We got together and we started writing some tunes and something, just some really soft electronic beats, and then it just naturally evolved into something really heavy. We didn't really plan it. We all just decided that we couldn't go away from our heavy roots yet. And mainly because of our drummer. He's a crazy drummer. He loves technical beats. And so he would come in and put all these crazy drums over the music, and it just started to take form. And it was just so heavy. And we thought, nah, we've got to keep going down this path and see what comes out of it. So it ended up with Drown This City.
Yeah, that's so cool. Like, I'm pretty sure, like, on the point about your drummer, like, there's nothing that says heavy more than a drummer that's, like, smashing the shit out of, like, the drums.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's really awesome. So, listening to your music, it still contains electronic substance. So, how do you think that that makes you stand out as a band compared to other bands that wouldn't have that?
I'm not really sure, I guess, what makes us stand out. We just write what we think sounds good between the five of us, what we're happy with, and really hope that it is fresh. We've all got a lot of different influences, but we always start with electronic elements to each song.
Okay.
So a lot of the time, yeah, so we sometimes we'll start with just a drum structure, and sometimes we'll start with just electronics, and we really focus on the melody and really connecting with that melody, and we don't really let things go further if we're not all connecting straight away with a great melody, something that sort of makes us feel really excited, something that sounds really different. And once we've got that electronic sort of foundation, we bring everything else in. And sometimes we'll write a song, or our bassist actually writes most of the electronic elements, and he'll write a full song purely electronic, and then we think, shit, how are we going to get guitars in here? But we managed to pull it all together. So, yeah, it's actually really fun.
Yeah, so if you said before that you have heavy roots, what made you want to do electronic music at the beginning?
There's a lot of electronic elements in post-hardcore, and I think recently a lot of electronic influences coming out in metal, and we've always, all of us, have listened to a lot of electronic music as well as metal, punk, hardcore, and we started the project without a guitarist, so it was really natural for us to write everything electronically. We just used what we had, and it was natural just to get all those elements in with electronic beats, and then it just built that foundation. In terms of the influences, we've all played in metal bands. We all listen to the heaviest posty bands you can think of, but we all love mainstream music and catchy electronic music as well, so we just managed to sort of put our influences together.
Yeah, that's really interesting, because usually when I think of heavy bands, I don't really think of the electronic side, but it's probably a pretty good thing, because if you think about it, like, the future, the electronic side of everything is always taking over, like, everything's becoming available in that way, so I guess it's pretty good that you're able to merge those two together, because that's,
it could be
the way of the future, like, you never know.
Yeah, it's a lot easier. I mean, the first band I was in a few years ago, I mean, we wrote everything in a band room with guitars and amps, and, you know, sitting around jamming together, working on riffs, and then you go home and everyone thinks, this is actually going back quite a few years now, but you think, oh, what was that riff again? And then you fast forward to today, and bands are so polished, they're so professional, everyone's sitting around in a studio together, you know, straight into the computer, logging ideas and putting those elements together. So exactly what you said, you've got so much more at your disposal. I mean, we could put our guitars on the backing tracks. I mean, you could have anything you want in this digital age. You can put any element you want into music. So, I mean, it works to our advantage because I think our electronic element is something that we love the most about our songs so far.
Yeah, and it really makes you stand out. So listening to the studio versions of some songs, it sounds like there's layered parts of singing with harsh and soft vocals, so this obviously makes it a more dynamic piece. Now, I was just wondering, how do you go about performing these songs live if there's soft vocals layered in the harsh vocals?
We've got our guitarist, Matthew, and he does screaming with me actually on stage, so we'll probably see a bit more of him in our new songs. He'll do some more screaming, but we split the parts between us, particularly in the choruses. We've got a lot of overlap of cleans and screams.
Yeah.
And Matt does all those and helps me out on stage. And it sounds a lot more full stage as well, but we put gang vocals, layers on backing tracks as well, just to make sure that our live performance still feels really full and still has that impact so that nothing's sort of missing. But I always do the cleans and focus on the cleans for each of those parts if they overlap.
Yeah, I guess if you're performing it live, Matt can do like harsh vocals and you'll do the clean vocals.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, for example, The Edge, one of our songs, The Edge, we've got a chorus that sort of has a call and response sort of clean to scream ratio through that chorus. And so he does all the screams over the top of me doing all the cleans, and then we scream together in the bridge. So it's actually really awesome having a second vocalist to help out and keep that full feeling and make sure none of the vocals are missing.
Yeah, yeah. Awesome. Do you think it's more common these days to see like female-fronted hardcore bands with harsh vocals? Because I think in the past it's been a pretty male-dominated thing to have the screams.
I think there's a lot of female vocalists out there.
Yeah.
And even since, I mean, I started listening to heavy music, say, 10, 11 years ago, and back then Alyssa White Gloves from The Agonist back then was still around. Angela Gossett was around, and there were a few female screamers at the time. But coming back to today, there's, for me, I go looking. I'm always on the prowl for more female screamers, seeing what's out there, and there's so many, which is really wonderful to see. And I think it's just becoming so normal for girls to get involved in heavy music, because there's no difference really. There's no reason why we can't.
Yeah.
And when I first started, it never really crossed my mind that, oh, there's only a few female screamers, I don't know, should I do it? I wasn't really deterred by that. I was so impressed and influenced by vocalists across the board that I never really thought, oh, I don't know if I should do this or not. I'm really glad that I didn't, and obviously no one else is doing that, because there's so many amazing female vocalists and harsh vocalists out there now.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just awesome to see it way more common now, which is brilliant.
Yeah, so your debut EP, False Idols, was released earlier in this year. What's been the reception to that?
Yeah, we released False Idols in June, so what are we now? We're in middle
October.
Of October.
Yeah,
so a couple of months ago. We've had a really great response, probably more than we could ever have imagined. I mean, it's a really short, sharp EP. We've got 5 tracks on it, and we just really wanted to get a nice EP out there as an introduction for us. We never planned anything grand for this EP, and so far the opportunities that we've had are just mind-blowing, actually. We couldn't really believe the response. We started working with a manager a couple of weeks after we released the EP, since we put out a song, and then we've sort of developed a little team and put a team together, and we've really been pushing the band and sort of reaching out to really great opportunities. But so far the ratio of positive to negative is really good, and it's really inspiring for us to think, okay, this is awesome, maybe we're onto something, and we're writing music every day and hoping to put out some more music in the next couple of months, and definitely early next year. So the response has been just exceeding our expectations in every possible way. It's amazing.
Yeah, that's really great. So I was going to ask if you had any plans for releases in the near future. So you obviously do.
We definitely do. Yep, absolutely. We wrote this EP December last year, and so we're looking at a year gone by, and we've been writing music this whole time while we've been out performing, out sort of, we're on tour at the moment, and so we're always in the back of our mind, it's like, okay, we've got these demos, I'm always writing lyrics, I'm always coming up with ideas, and we're going to be ready for whatever opportunity is there. We don't want to take time off to go away and and write music. I guess not at this early stage when we can keep pushing and keep people engaged with us and we're not established yet. So having more content to constantly be putting out there, I think, is really important for us, making sure that people don't forget who we are and they stay interested in what we can offer. So, we've got many new songs that we are working towards, and hopefully probably by the start of next year we'll have some new songs out. So that's pretty awesome. Pretty short in the timeline as well for us, which is really great. Yeah,
so we've all got something to look forward to then.
Hopefully.
Awesome. So you're currently on tour with Falling in Reverse. How's that been so far?
Yeah, it's a dream come true. I don't even know how to describe the experience so far. We sort of signed on to the tour not too long ago, and so it's been a whirlwind pulling it all together, getting organised, and we're also on tour with The Brave from Brisbane, who are absolutely amazing.
Awesome.
So the three of us, we're going around Australia together, and it's been really mind-blowing. We're playing to different audiences. We're playing to a younger crowd as well. Most of the shows are AA shows, and so having younger engagement and how excited they get and then how that makes us feel on stage, it's just absolutely incredible. The tour is really professional, very business-like, everything's so organised, and so we've really had to sort of step up and try and see ourselves as a professional band, and each gig we need to get better and better and engage these audiences that are expecting really great things, and the response has been really, really great, and so we're sort of pinching ourselves at the moment. We're playing our final show tomorrow night in Sydney, so we're sort of hanging out in Sydney today, and it's going to be sad when it's all over because it's been the best experience we've had so far. Mm. So it's been amazing, yeah.
What's the biggest crowd that you've performed to so far?
We've played some pretty good venues in the last couple of days. Probably last night in Brisbane, we played at the Trifford.
Yeah.
I think, I'm not too sure and I don't want to get the numbers wrong, but the capacity's maybe 600 or 700 people, which is quite a lot for us. That was our ninth gig as a band. And so to go from playing a couple hundred to our EP launch to then playing to 900 people through nine gigs has been really overwhelming. So we've got to get up on stage and engage with so many more people and try and get them interested. And it's just, it's incredible to see that many people sort of screaming back at us. But we got a really great reception last night. So,
that's so awesome.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Do you ever get stage fright because you're going up in front of that many people?
Truthfully, I get very, very bad stage fright. It's probably something that will never go away. I just sort of embrace it. I think, bad stage fright. But once you're up there, it feels amazing. It's really amazing. And I know that as soon as I step on that stage, it's fine. I just breathe. I just look at everyone and go, this is amazing. Take it in, enjoy it. But I think the hour beforehand, before going on stage, we're all sort of jumping around backstage, fiddling around, sort of just that adrenaline and the nervousness and the excitement is just sometimes really overwhelming. It's like, what am I going to do for the next hour? The clock feels like it's taking 3 hours to tick down, 10 minutes before we go on stage. But no, I do get stage fright. Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of performers do, but it's all part of the experience. And then you get off stage and you feel amazing and you think, why was I scared? So,
And then when you get off stage, you can finally, breathe out, take a deep breath out of relief.
Absolutely. Definitely.
So how's this is random question, but how's Ronnie from Falling in Reverse?
I knew I would get asked that question.
I've always seen him in the music videos, I've seen him on Instagram, but I've always wondered what he's like.
Yeah, well, truthfully, we don't have a great deal of engagement with Falling in Reverse. I mean, the tour it's really quick. I mean, So we fly out in the morning. By the time we get our gear, we get to the venue, the band's loading, we sound check, we get on, we get off and pack down. I mean, there's very little time to sort of hang around. Yeah, and everything's just really professional. But we walk past them before and after shows and we say, hi, great show, and that sort of thing. But not a great deal of time to hang out. But from what I've seen, he seems really awesome and probably the best performer I've ever seen on stage ever. He's a bit of a superstar, and really you can see he's so excited each show. He just loves being up there, and it's really inspiring to watch. So but a lot of people come up to me and say, oh, please can you introduce me to Ronnie? I'm like, oh, I can't. I wish I could, but no.
Oh, that's so awesome. So you've also been added to the lineup for Unify for 2017. So how's that feel to be part of that? That's so great.
Well, that's pretty incredible, and it'll be our biggest show that we've ever played.
Yeah.
I think the capacity for that stage and that outdoor festival is a couple of thousand, if not more, people, which is giant. And I think playing these run of shows and playing to these bigger crowds sort of was a really good kick in the butt for us to go, wow, this is serious. Mm-hmm. This is a lot of work, and we've got to step up each time and learn to hold the attention of this many people and really give them a really great show. And so I think coming into Unify next year, we'll be a lot more prepared to step on that stage and do a really great performance. But we're, again, blown away. Would never in a million years have dreamed of being asked to play that, to play Unify this early into our sort of band career. So amazing. I try not to think about it too much because I'll get nervous thinking about it, but it's going to be really amazing.
That's sort of when you know it's real, when you've been invited to go on tour with Falling Reverse to perform at this festival. That's when you really know things are getting real, and that's really great.
It is great, and I think we don't have any time to think about that. Each time we get a new opportunity, we get a new phone call, it's another step up, and it's being thrown in the deep end. Okay, can we achieve this? Can we do this? Can we live up to this opportunity? And most of the time we just put our heads down and just work hard, and then afterwards sort of pinch ourselves and go, did that happen? Did we just play that last night? And I think nothing's real at this stage. We're so new, and people might be really excited by us early on, so fingers crossed we can keep holding that attention and coming out with some really great new music and proving to people that we do deserve more opportunities, and hopefully we can keep it going. That's all we really want.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for talking with me today. It was great to
have
a talk with you.
Yeah, it was awesome. Thank you so much.
No worries.
Thanks for listening to the Moshpit Backstage Podcast. You can subscribe to us on iTunes and Omni. To find out more about the show, go to www.syn.org.au/moshpit. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/moshpitonsin, and follow us on Twitter and Instagram at moshpitsin. The regular Moshpit radio show broadcasts punk, rock and metal tunes and interviews every Thursday nights on Sin 9.7 on FM and digital radios. Listeners outside of Melbourne, Australia can stream Sin 9.7 online at www.syn.org.au. Thanks to Vintage Ruin for the music.
Hi, this is Tomato from Flash Gun Apocalypse.
Hi, I'm Enid from Girls Go.
I am Phoebe Pinnock from Heaven the Axe.
Hey, this is Gary Olmey of The Misfits.
Hey, this is Kat Sproul from Horizon's Edge, and you're listening to The Mosh Pit on Sin FM.
Hi, this is Aina from Leopard.
Hi, I'm Virginia Lilly from the band Lily.
This is Raul from 1449.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Ali from Beaverhead.
Hey everybody, this is Charlie Benante with Anthrax, and you are listening to the Mosh Pit on Sin.